They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Makes me call to mind how at times when my brothers and I get together, we still will argue about who is the greatest in the family of the boys. We will still kind of put forth our own arguments. My oldest brother, shoot, he was the one who paved the way. He's the one who set the bar so high to try to reach. He was always the first to get things done. My youngest brother, he was really probably the smartest of us all. Really eloquent with words. My brother, who's just a little bit younger than me, he was probably the greatest of athletes in our family. He would just remind us a couple weeks ago that he was the only one who could dunk a basketball. Those types of things were always argued, and me not being the one always to be first to get done of things, like my oldest brother, definitely not the smartest like my youngest brother, or as athletic as my other brother. The only comeback I had is say, I'm the priest. But it's in this very part that of this arguing, I almost wonder if the same type of thing was going along with the disciples, with the apostles, as they argued who was the greatest. I could possibly see Peter say, guys, if you've already forgotten, I'm the Pope. I'm going to be the one leading everything. But I could see Andrew then speak up and say, hey, bro, Peter, I brought you to Jesus. You wouldn't be Pope without me. Or then there's John who simply says, but guys, you're forgetting a major important thought. I'm the beloved disciple. And then, of course, James, his brother, would simply say, yeah, but I'm your older brother and I can still beat you up. I don't know. But there would be those types of things of arguing in that part. Because what are they trying to do? What are they trying to figure out? Who's numero uno? Who's the best? Who's the first one of them all? And the thing is, what happens in all of this is what St. James spoke of in our second reading. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. There's sin. Because my brothers and sisters, this has been going on since the very beginning of time. Adam and Eve had that selfish ambition. They had that pride when they reached out to the tree of knowledge of good and evil and said, you know what, we want to be numero uno. We want to be equal to God. We want to be able to stand on our own. It's because of that very pride, because of that selfish ambition, that we fell from where we were at, already in the very loving arms of God. Adam and Eve were walking hand in hand with the Lord before the sin. But when they tried to reach out, when they tried to say, you know what, we want to be first, disorder entered in. And every foul practice, sin came into existence. Even Cain and Abel. Cain wanted to be above his brother. And when he wasn't, it was his envy that led him to kill Abel. Do you see the disorder from all the selfish ambition, from our envy? And this has been going on throughout history. Even within my own family, with myself. Trying to see if I can become number one. If I can try to rank before my brothers. And what the Lord is reminding me, as He reminds the apostles, that we have to nip this one in the bud. We have to stop this before it even starts. When He says, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. That is, we have to be humble. We have to learn humility that Christ Himself showed us. As He comes down from the heights of heaven, He humbles Himself to become like us. He becomes our servant. The God who made us, the God who continues to hold us in being, is the one who also serves you and me as He gives Himself upon the cross. as he offers his life. And that, my brothers and sisters, is not selfish ambition. It's a selfless ambition, so that he may enrich you and me with his grace, so that you and I can become one with him, that he who is the only Son of God can make us also sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. That is what he's seeking. That is his whole attitude of humility, of being the last of all to being the servant of all. He wants to enrich us, and he wants us then to learn that very same attitude, to be able to give of ourselves, to have a life of humility, not seeking to be number one, but seeking to be the servant of those around us. To be like Christ himself. And so if there's something to be first in, if we really want to strive in that type of attitude, do it with humility and seek to be the first to offer help to someone in need. Seek to be the first to offer a sacrifice for the benefit of another. Seek to be the first to offer forgiveness rather than to seek revenge. Seek to be the first to listen rather than to speak or to get the last word in. Because my brothers and sisters, those are attitudes of humility. Those are attitudes of a servant. And that is the attitude of Christ, who we profess to be his disciples, who we desire to become like him, who humbled himself to be our servants in order to make us first in his life. And so we should pray, deliver me, Jesus, from the desire of being esteemed by others, of being extolled by others, or praised and preferred by others. Deliver me from that, of wanting to be first. Deliver me, Jesus, from the fear of being humiliated, despised, or forgotten. Because, Jesus, I desire to be like you, to choose others, and I be set aside, that others will be praised, and I go unnoticed, that others be preferred over myself. Because, Jesus, that is your attitude. As you gave yourself upon the cross, that is the lesson of humility you give us in our gospel today, to overcome any selfish ambition, any pride, any desire to make ourselves first. We should first seek to make ourselves last and the servant of all, so that we may be with you, Lord Jesus, forever in heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ through his mother Mary, now and forever. Amen.